Bibles this morning to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel, chapter 9. The book of Daniel, chapter 9, we'll begin reading in verse 24 of Daniel, chapter 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this few moments to consider your word, to look at these prophecies that you've made very clear of the end time events. Pray that we'll understand. Open our eyes, help us to see what we need to see, and pray that those who are here not sure they know Christ, or online and not sure they know Christ, that they will get it settled today before it's everlastingly too late for them. We thank you, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, Daniel is giving us the things that will happen right up until the Lord Jesus Christ, but notice he goes on to say, to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's a very end time event. That's back when we get to the millennial reign of Christ and the new heaven and the new earth that's prophesied in the scripture. And so he gives us a time thing here for the coming of Christ and then for the end time events. We notice here that it says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Thy people is Israel. 70 weeks determined. Now these weeks can be in the Hebrew either weeks of days or weeks of years. And we know in here, because of the time factor, it has to be speaking of weeks of years. And we get that from Genesis chapter 29 and verse 27, where the Bible tells us that the Jacob was seeking his wife. Rachel was given to him first, Leah was given to him first, and then Rachel, and he was deceived and to be given Leah first. And in Genesis 29:27, then he was told, fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years, week of years. And so we're talking of weeks of years here, which would be 490 years are determined upon here, upon Israel. What is it determined about? Well, we notice verse 24, it's going to 490 years. We'll finish the transgression and make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And then he breaks it down in verse 25, the breakdown here. It tells us very clearly, it says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. The commandment to restore and build Jerusalem can be found in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. And verses 7 and 8, under Artaxerxes, that was made in 445 B.C. 445 B.C., the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem was given by Artaxerxes. From then, it says, it goes on to tell us, it says, unto the Messiah, the Prince. First of all, it mentions here, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. 7 weeks is 49 years, and that brings us to 397 B.C. at the end of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Now, we know that there were 400 silent years between the Testaments in the Bible, and so we have coming up to the end of the Old Testament, and then it says, and 62 weeks, 62 weeks, which gives us the 69 weeks altogether. And 69, 1 week missing, 1 7-year period missing here. And it says, after 62 weeks, that's the total of 69 weeks or 483 years, we have Messiah to be cut off, or he dies, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That happened in 7 A.D. when Antiochus came in and Epiphanes destroyed the city. And then the street wall was built again in verse 25. That happened with Nehemiah and in the book of Nehemiah. And we notice that then it prophesies about the destruction of Israel, which it was. And when we figure this time up of 483 years from 445 B.C., it comes right to the time that Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the week that he would die on the cross. God gave us the time factor of when the Messiah would come. And then in verse 27, it tells us that this prince that shall come, which the Old Testament prince, the old time prince that destroyed Israel, is a picture of the Antichrist who will come during the tribulation period. There's the factor here is the period of grace. There is a period of grace. It's been 2,000 years now. We've been in this period of grace since the time of Christ, when it's a time period that when for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're in this period of grace. And the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles. And then it says in verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In other words, he's going to confirm, strengthen. Mostly this word is translated prevail and strengthen. And so it has the idea that he will make a peace agreement work. This is the Antichrist. Confirm the covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years, referring to the 7-year tribulation period. How do we know that? Because of what it says next. And in the midst of the week, the middle of the week, after 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. We know when we go to Matthew 24 and Revelation 13, that this is the time period when the Antichrist claims in the temple in Jerusalem, the rebuilt temple, the Bible teaches it's going to be rebuilt, and he claims that he is God, and the false prophet sets up an image of him in the temple, and that is the abomination of desolation. So we know we're talking about this last week to be the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period that's prophesied to come upon the earth, the worst times the world has ever seen. You can read about it from Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 19. It is a very, very troubling time for the earth. And the Bible teaches that the rapture will take place before the tribulation period. That's very clear in the scripture, when you compare scripture with scripture. So, we have this time factor and tells us that after 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to break his treaty with Israel, this peace agreement that he has made. Now, when we come down to where we are here in 2024, the world is looking today for peace. Many say that the best way to gain peace in the world is just to destroy Israel. Just destroy them. But the Bible teaches that Israel is not going to be destroyed. God has placed them in that land forever. According to the IDF, Israel Defense Forces, they said 170 drones, 30 cruise missiles, 120 ballistic missiles were fired from Iran to Israel, and 99% of them, only 1% got through, were shot down. Now, really, with the vast amount that came, more than that should have got through. But we can see that God keeps his word. Israel is in her protection mode. Not because Israel deserves it. Israel is very corrupt. Very away, far away from the teachings of God's word that he gave them. Will not recognize Jesus as their Messiah. For the most part, they're in Israel. But God said he's going to protect them because he keeps his word. He is going to bring them back into the land. Many are worried that the threat of a major World War III is going to break out. The world really is ripe for this man to come and to confirm the covenant. To confirm this covenant. He does that at the start of the tribulation period. The world's ripe for that man of peace, to settle this. Turkey is now stepping in, and Erdogan, I think is how you say his name, Erdogan. He is the president of Turkey, and he's kind of intervening. I've read some articles in the past, some people think he's the Antichrist, but I don't know if that's true or not. But I know the world is looking for someone to step in and settle this issue and quiet things down, because actually what they're saying is we're on the verge of nuclear war if this does escalate. And so the world is concerned. Well, we have the Bible to guide us. And in Isaiah chapter 13, if you want to turn over there, Isaiah is an amazing book. It's kind of a miniature Bible within the Bible. And Isaiah has a lot to do with end time prophecies, speaking about things that literally happen, but they point on out into the future for things that are going to happen. And we know that from Isaiah chapter 13 because of what we read in this chapter and how that Verse 4 says, the noise of a multitude in the mountains like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. This points us back to the end time events. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil. This is talking tribulational. and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, the earth shall remove out of her place, and the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger, and it shall be as the chaste roe, as sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one into his own land. And so we notice this is clearly tribulational. This is clearly in Isaiah talking about the last time. So drop down to verse 17. It says, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows shall also dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb, for their eyes shall not spare children." And so it's talking about the Medes coming in. And in past history, that happened, the Medes and the Persians. But it's interesting that this is tribulational. This is talking last time. And the Medes, or the Medians, were a group of Indo-Iranian-speaking people from Central Asia who migrated westwards and entered northern Iran around the end of the second millennium BCE. They settled, and that's B.C., but that's A.D. They settled in the highlands of Sargas, and by the end of the 7th century, founded the kingdom of Media. The Sargos was in the western and northern country of what is Iran today. Persia, the old Persia, is Iran today. And the Britannica says that it was northwestern Iran. And so in prophetic scripture, we see that there is to be this conflict with Israel and Iran in the last times. We have to understand that Satan is the one that's behind the destruction of Israel. Why else would we have all of these protests in our streets in America against Israel? Why does it seem that the whole world is turning against Israel? It's because the devil's behind it. God has made some definite promises to Israel. He's not because of them, but because God chose that people to bring the Messiah through so that the whole world would know who the Messiah is. It's all lined out for us in Scripture. He said they were not above any people. God is no respecter of persons, but he chose them, and he uses them to show the world that God is God, and that he is real, and that Jesus is coming again. God keeps his promises. The Palestinians and Hamas, Hezbollah, they really don't want a Palestinian state. They've been offered it. They've refused it. They want Israel to be destroyed. And on October 7th, if they could have accomplished it, they would have continued on through Israel till they had killed every Jew, every one. Jim Showers is the director and president of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. They have a magazine that they put out. And he said this. He said, "Hamas terrorists want to eliminate Israel because they are carrying out the will of their father, Satan. He knows the son of Israel, Jesus the Messiah, will come to rescue Israel and destroy him and his forces with the sword of his tongue," Zechariah 12-14 and Revelation 19. "Then Jesus will ascend to the throne of his ancestor David and restore God's kingdom on earth. To prevent his own destruction, Satan seeks to eliminate the conduit through which his downfall will come. The spiritual battle Satan wages with God spills over in the affairs of men, which explains more than 3,000 years of anti-Semitism stretching from generation to generation. This hatred manifests itself in the book of Esther, where wicked Haman endeavors to eliminate the Jewish people in one day. It plays out in Psalm 83, as God's enemies plot to rise up against Israel, that the name of Israel will be remembered no more in verse 4. Nazi Germany tried to eradicate the Jewish people from the earth, and Hamas, and had Hamas been able, it would have continued killing until every Israeli was dead. God promised that unless the sun, moon, and stars cease to exist, Israel will endure. Jeremiah 31, 35, and 36. Historically, those who sought to annihilate Israel have disappeared, but the Jewish people remain to this day. Have you ever considered that? Have you ever considered all the battles against Israel, the pogroms in Russia, how they have been chased after and hated and killed people all through history, and yet they still exist? And after about 2,000 years of being out of their land and scattered around the world, they came back to their land, and they are in the land, just as Ezekiel chapter 36 and chapter 37 tells us will happen in the last days, that God will bring them back into the land. They will come back, and He will bring them back, and they are back, and they're using the same currency, they're using the same language, the Hebrew, that they did. That's a miracle. That can only be done by God. Not happen with other nations that have gone out of existence. They've not come back. God, he goes on to say here, God preserves them because he loves them and because his plan to redeem the world flows through Israel. People ought to be thankful for Israel, because through Israel we have the Messiah. And God's promised those that will bless Israel, God will bless them. Made a clear promise. So you can mark it down. If the U.S. turns against Israel, the U.S. is headed for trouble. It's going to happen. And it just may well be the gas price is over $5 a gallon. And we may see some really difficult times if we're going to turn our back on Israel. It will happen. You can mark it down. It's clear in the Word of God. Prophecy Depot Ministries said this: Israel has seemingly had his divine covering since its rebirth as a nation in 1948. Against all odds, they were blessed to have won the Arab-Israeli wars of 1948, 1967, 1973. The Arabs sought to wipe Israel off the map, but God prevented that from occurring. Similarly, Iran wants to wipe Israel off the map, but it won't happen. That won't happen. They say here, they said about those wars in 48 and 67, 73. If you read about those wars and how Israel won them, it again is a miracle. When you have all of the Arab nations coming against Israel, and Israel only has one howitzer, and their weaponry is, they don't even hardly have enough ammunition or anything, but yet they won the war. It's interesting to read about those wars and how they took barrels and put rocks in them and rolled them down the hills, and the Arabs thought the tanks were coming and they fled. And little did they know that they were coming against only one howitzer weapon. They didn't even have much ammunition to fire it from. Bible prophecy, according to Bible prophecy, it appears that Israel is going to be at war until a peace treaty is signed. That's what we see in prophecy of Scripture. And God promised there in Ezekiel 36 and 37 that he would bring them back in the land. And when they come back in the land, if you look at Ezekiel chapter 37, you can see when this takes place. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 21 says, "And I say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen whither they be gone. The heathen is reference to the Gentile nations. And will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. You remember when they left, they were divided, two kingdoms and the ten. Two nations and the ten tribes. Two tribes and the ten tribes, that's what I want to say. And they were divided with Rehoboam. And we notice here that it says, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, King David, my servant, shall be king over them. So we know that as this prophecy of bringing them back into the land, they're going to be there until the millennial kingdom when David rules over them. That's clear in the scripture. They are there to stay. But the Bible indicates they're going to be battles. Look in Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Next to the last book of the Bible, Zechariah, Malachi. Chapter 12. We begin in verse 1. It says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. There's some people that don't believe that. They don't believe that God is the creator. They believe that man evolved, but someday they're going to stand before that God, and they're going to realize that this Bible that has never been refuted, many have tried, but it's never been refuted. The Bible stands, and the Bible prophecies that have been prophesied have come to pass, and there are some that are yet future, and they will come to pass. Not one prophecy is missed in one little single tiny detail, but they have prophesied just as they were given. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth shall be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, and the Lord of hosts their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah, these are the leaders in Israel, like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. It goes on to say in verse 8, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. That comes at the beginning of the millennium. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon, in the valley of Megiddon. And so leading up to the Battle of Armageddon, the establishment of the kingdom. And the indication there is that the leaders of Jerusalem, the leaders of Israel, will be fierce. They won't back down. And we're seeing that taking place. In fact, the United Nations is, I read, is going to put out an arrest warrant for Netanyahu. If he goes out of Israel, they're going to arrest him because of the atrocities that Israel's done. What about the atrocities of Hamas? What about that? The Bible is very clear that Israel in the last times is going to, they're going to come against Israel. There's scripture that teaches that they will slay the children and ravish the wives. And we saw some of that on October the 7th. If you go to Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 9, Isaiah chapter 17, verse 9, we'll quickly look at some of these verses. Chapter 17 of Isaiah and verse 9. 17:9 says, "In that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation." Now in the context here, this is talking about Syria, Damascus. Damascus is attacked by Israel. We saw that when the two generals were killed there, two Iranian generals. And here's the prophecy of Israel coming against Damascus. They're going to come against Damascus. In Jeremiah 49 and verse 35, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam." Where's that? Well, if you look on a map and you look where Elam was, it's right in the lower part of Iran. It's right where Israel, when Iran sent all of those rockets and drones and ballistic missiles, when they sent all those over, Israel's not stupid. Israel was using their radar, and they determined exactly where those were coming from. So when they go in to bomb, they know where to bomb. And that identified them. And they were where? Elam. That's where they were. And it says, "I will break, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam." Bow is the meaning of their arrows, their missiles. You know, you have to realize that the Bible was written at a time when we didn't have the ballistic missiles and all of that. And so the Bible puts it in the weapons of that time. But the chief of their might. Then we have the Arab-Israeli war, Psalm 83. That there's a confederacy in that. And when you read Psalm 83, it lines up with what we have in going on in Israel today. You have Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the Palestinians, Egypt, Hamas, and Hezbollah. That's all surrounding Israel, just like Psalm 83 says. And the goal in Psalm 83:4 was to wipe Israel out, their remembrance, to completely destroy them. We say, "Pastor, you read Jordan in there, and Jordan helped out in destroying the missiles that Iran sent." Yeah, know why? Because they have a treaty, and their real goal is destruction of Israel, but they have a treaty that they made, and they get a lot of support because of that, and a lot of supplies and things. And so they would join in with the U.S. and others because they would not want to break that treaty at this time. But it appears in prophecy that Israel will stay in conquering mode. She's going to be conquering. She's going to be defending off her enemies. There are going to be battles. If you look in Isaiah chapter 28, she will continue in battles until this man of peace comes on the scene and the Antichrist and settles everything down. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14. Here, prophetic scripture tells us in 28, verse 14, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." And so here in these two verses, down to verse 18, "And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it." And so here in prophetic scripture, when they sign that peace treaty, it's almost like signing a death warrant for them. Because the Antichrist is the one behind that peace treaty. And he cannot be trusted. And they will have apparently 3.5 years of peace. But then in Ezekiel 38 and 39, a coalition of nations with Iran, Russia, whole coalition of nations is going to come against Israel. And God destroys them. They fall to the earth when you read those chapters. That happens about the middle of the tribulation period. When that happens, if you read Daniel chapter 11, the Antichrist is fighting a lot of battles to gain world control. Well, when this coalition comes together against Israel at the middle of the tribulation period and God destroys them, the Antichrist now has some of the nations that were opposing him out of the way. And he is able to take full control. And he breaks his covenant with Israel and goes out to destroy them. And they flee to the place of hiding that the Lord has prepared for them. Many Jews will be killed, as the Bible teaches. We don't have time to go into all those scriptures. But you can read it in Matthew 24. You can read it in other scriptures as well. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel. If you go to Isaiah 39:7, Isaiah chapter 39, verse 7, it's actually a covenant of death for Israel. Yes, they will have 3.5 years of peace, but the Antichrist, his ultimate goal is to destroy every Jew that walks on the face of the earth. And he will go after that when he breaks this covenant. And we notice here in Isaiah 39, verse 7, it says, "And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace." And I'm in Isaiah. I need to be in Ezekiel. So let me get over there. That happened, by the way, as it just was prophesied, and that's how Daniel ended up in Babylon. But here in Ezekiel 39, verse 7, it says, "So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel." And so that's his purpose. That's why God is protecting Israel, because he made his promise. He said he would, and he will, and God keeps his promise. If Israel gets destroyed, then we might as well just close this Bible up, because we can't depend upon our salvation. God said, he promised he would keep Israel. They would not be destroyed. They would become strong in the land, and eventually they would be destroyed in the tribulation period. But he would take the remnant to a special place and protect them there. And then he would come. At the second coming of Christ, he would come and establish his kingdom and put Israel in the land, and David would be the king over them. And God made that promise, and if that promise does not come about, then we can't even depend upon our salvation. God's protection of the Jews is a great testimony to the strength of our salvation. Today, all the world is looking for this man of peace, somebody to settle this. I mean, we are on the verge of nuclear war. Somebody needs to step in, and the Bible teaches that he will. It'll be the Antichrist. And he will get Israel to sign a peace agreement and the others to sign along with him. The interesting thing about this all is we see all these wars taking place that are prophesied in the Bible, and Iran moving, and Syria, Damascus there. Damascus is the capital city of Syria. We see all these things coming about. And here's what it says in Luke 21, verse 28. This is what Jesus said. And when these things begin to come to pass, when they begin to come to pass, we see that. Then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And you read on down in that chapter, and he says that you'd be able to escape all these things. That's a testimony that the rapture takes place before the seven-year tribulation period. According to the scripture, we are going to go out of here very soon. The rapture's coming very soon. How soon? I don't know. But I know that the Bible prophesies that Israel is going to be involved in all these wars, and they're all going to surround her, and she's going to continue to be victorious. They can try every way they want to destroy her, but they will not do it. It won't happen. If it does happen, then this Bible is not true. And it's not going to happen. Israel is going to survive, and the leaders of Israel are following just what the Bible described about them there in Zechariah 12. They will be fierce in the battle. When these nations come against them, they will be blinded, the blindness of the horses. They're just not going to. No, the world isn't going to convince them to stop. They're going to go. And that's exactly what we're seeing, what's prophesied in the scripture. All my years of studying the Bible, and been preaching now for over 50 years, 51 years, and I have never read anything or seen anything to discredit the Bible. The more I read the Bible, the more I see the Bible unveiling the things that are taking place in the world. Jesus Christ is coming soon. You can deny it. You can go on your merry way and live for self. But this is a time to turn to God. Jesus is coming soon. And it's a time to wake up and to realize that the only way of escape, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He came to this earth, and God the Son went to the cross and died there in your place, in my place, to bear your sin penalty, to take your sin upon himself. And if you fail to see that, fail to believe it, fail to acknowledge to God that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and refuse to accept Christ, then you will perish. And if the Lord were to come today in the tribulation period, the Antichrist brings his peace treaty, if that were to happen today, then you would go into the worst times the world has ever seen, where there will be strong delusion, it will be easy to believe a lie, and be doomed for all eternity. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation, now is the accepted time. Today is the day to get it settled. Tomorrow, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Thank you for giving us the word. Pray for those who may be uncertain of salvation, that they would get it settled today, that they would allow the Holy Spirit to move on their heart and cause them to understand, I need to get this settled. I don't need to put it off. Help them to come when we have this invitation time and come and get it settled. Let a personal worker take them aside. No embarrassment, not have to say anything or do anything, but just come and get it settled to put their faith and trust in Christ. We thank you. We love you. For those that are online that are not sure they're saved, help them to get it settled before it's too late. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. I have a Here's another news article that Netanyahu is, he says that Turkey's president says that Netanyahu to blame for Israel's, Iran's attack on Israel. He's blaming them for that attack. Well, we'll see how it all plays out. But I can guarantee you, Israel is there to stay. You can just watch it each day as things transpire, and Israel is there to stay. Why? Because God said it, and that settles it. We're going to sing an invitation song, give you an opportunity, if you're not sure you're saved, to get it settled. Page number 246, Jesus is calling. It's time to get it settled. While we sing, will you come?